Real Estate Talk Radio, hosted by Realtor Mark Tate of Realty Executives and Carl Stauffer, designated broker for Diamond Realty. And now, here are your resident real estate junkies, Mark and Carl.
And welcome to Real Estate Talk Radio on 1510 AM KFNN. I am Mark Tate, along with my buddy,
Carl Stauffer. Good morning, Mark.
How you doing, buddy? Anyway, today we've got a great show. We are going to talk to Gary Gorman. He's a CPA, and he's the managing partner for the 1031 Exchange Experts. Gary, it's great to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
You're gonna enlighten us on 1031.
Yeah, we're going to talk about 1031 exchanges.
You know, it gets batted around, you know, 1031, et cetera. But, you know, it's one of those things where, do you really know what it is? Well, we're going to cover the details and the nuances today.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
You know, 1031 exchange is actually pretty sexy. When we come back, we'll be talking to Gary Gorman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these words.
You're listening to Real Estate Talk Radio with Mark Tate on 1510 KFNN. Radio that makes you money. Now back to Real Estate Talk Radio with your hosts, Dome Brothers, Mark and Carl.
When I put the new intros together, I said, you know, let's have one that said the Dome Brothers. Because Carl and I are both follically challenged.
Right, right. Me too.
That's good.
Yeah, you're a little follically challenged too,
yeah.
Gary.
Yeah, very. We're all from Minnesota. I wonder if there's a correlation there.
I don't know. You guys kind of have a little accent. My accent's way gone. I've been out here since 1977, so what can I say? Anyway, I've got a great show today. We're talking with Gary Gorman. He's a managing partner and CPA at the 1031 Exchange Experts. Again, Gary, it's great to have you on the show. Now, this 1031 thing, I mean, is it a theory or is it a gimmick? You know, tell us a little bit about 1031.
Well, no, it's an IRS code section, and it says, in effect, that what you do is you roll the gain from the sale of your old property over to the new property.
Okay.
And it just rolls over. You have to do certain things. But if you do that, it rolls
now,
over.
Now, if it's IRS, they've got bigger words. It's called the relinquished property, isn't it?
Yeah, it's relinquished property, and then the new property is a replacement property. I always use old and new because
right.
It takes too long for people's brains to process
right.
What is relinquishment.
And you've been processing this a long time. Give us a little bit of your background.
I've done over 30,000 exchange transactions.
Wow.
That is a bogus.
So you figure you got it down now?
Yeah.
Wow.
I get excited every once in a long time. I'll see something that's brand new that I've never seen before. And
really? Well, give us one that's really kind of cool.
Well, you know, let's take the standard stuff.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the standard thing is Fred and Sue. You know, Fred and Sue are this couple. They're single. They both own their own place, condo, townhouse, house. They meet somewhere, fall in love, get married. Sue moves in with Fred.
Aww.
And they rent out Sue's place.
That is so sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
It is sweet.
Well, now Sue's place is a 1031 property.
Yeah.
It is.
Becomes an investment home.
Yeah. It looks like a house to you guys, but to me it's 1031 property.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long does it have to be a rental before it's a 1031 property?
It has to be a rental it has to be investment property. Let's
okay.
talk about investment property.
All right.
For at least a year and a day. Because fair land could be investment property.
Okay.
Okay. And provided that it's investment property, you can sell any type of investment property and buy any type of investment property. So you could sell Sue's purple condo and buy a piece of bare land.
Okay.
Or you could buy a warehouse or an office building.
But let me back up here. There, you know, we have listeners that have heard of 1031. We have listeners that have done 1031s. But the basics of the whole thing is, just like your couple there, you have to own an investment home in order to do a 1031.
Right. It doesn't apply to your personal residence.
Yeah. You got an investment home. And, you know, the reason you're doing a 1031 is to avoid taxes.
Well, yeah, it's technically what you're doing is you're deferring taxes.
Deferring, right.
But there are...
Yeah, but I mean, you're avoiding them for now.
You're avoiding them for now, but there's so many ways that once you build a real estate empire, you can turn it into cash and not pay tax, that most people consider it a situation where you only pay tax when and in the amount you want to.
Right. I build a real estate empire, and I don't want to pay taxes.
Okay.
So I have to keep all my stuff rolling around in the 1031, or is there something I don't know?
Well, let's go back to Sue's purple condo.
Okay.
Okay. So when she rented that out, then it was 1031 property. But so let's say that she's lived there for 10 years.
Okay.
So she marries Fred, she moves in with him. Now it's rental property, and it's that way for a year. So now it qualifies for a 1031 exchange.
So it became an investment property.
Right. But it also qualifies for what CPAs call Section 121. Section 121. That's the code section you guys know that says that if you sell your personal residence, the house you live in,
mm-hmm.
and you've lived there for two of the last, how many years?
Five.
5 years, right?
Hey, okay. We're right on top
We've
of
done
hey,
that. You guys, we've done that.
You guys are sharp.
We're pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, so
hey,
you
the first
don't have
time
to pay
any taxes if it's your, if
Mark,
your primary residence.
Is that the first time a guest has told us we're sharp? I think
yeah.
that's...
No, we were actually told we were experts a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
Yeah. And we kept that show, and we put it in like a, you know...
It's in our Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah, or as we say, you guys are sharp, don't you know.
Don't you know.
Don't you know, you bet.
Okay, yeah, you bet. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So Sue's house, it's her primary residence for four of the last 5 years. The last year... It was a rental property, and so it qualifies for both the $250,000 exclusion
exemption
or the 1031 exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that case, you always want to do the exclusion. It's tax-free money. Take it off.
If you want it, then.
Yeah.
If you want the money.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So you have to sell the property,
Sell the property. And
go buy something else.
Well, in Sue's case, she would take it off the table, not pay tax on it, not do a 1031 exchange.
Because it's been a primary residence.
Well, no, but she may or may not put the money back in real estate. That's what I meant.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, where I'm going with this is let's turn it around and go the other way.
All right.
And so Sue has rental properties that she's had for a number of years. Let's say Sue lives in...
Let's say it's 3 years and one day later.
Well,
then what?
Hang on a second.
All right.
Hang on, man.
I'm hanging.
Are you jumping in on him?
So let's say Sue sells her purple condo that's a rental condo. It's been a rental condo for 10 years in Minnesota just to pick a
just
place.
Pick
Why
place.
Not?
And she wants something in Scottsdale because the weather's nice.
Right. So
All
she
right.
buys
No drifts are too tall.
So she buys a second home down here in Scottsdale, rents it out for a year, so it's 1031 property. Then she can move from Minnesota, move down here, move into it, live in it for 2 years, and then sell it. And because it's now her personal residence and she's lived in it for 2 years, then $250,000 if she's single, $500,000 if she's
married
to Fred.
Right.
So $500,000 is tax exempt, even though it's rollover gain on her 1031 exchange.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
You pull out a big eraser and you erase that event and
pocket that money.
Pocket
and you never
money.
Have to.
I think I've
yeah,
done
you
that.
Know, you know, it's funny too, Carl, because it's like there's a lot of things you got to know in order to maneuver around and try and make some headway.
Right, right.
Anyway, so interesting stuff.
Good stuff.
Good
yeah.
stuff.
If you're out there listening and have considered a 1031, have done one, have questions, we've got an expert in studio right now. Call us at 602-324-5366.
Yeah, we're talking to Gary
Up
Gorman.
10.
And he's with the 1031 Exchange Experts. And anyway, so we're going to take a quick little break. Before we do, let's announce this segment.
Now, back to Real Estate Talk Radio with your resident real estate junkies, Mark Tate and Carl Stauffer.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back to the place you've listened to before. We're talking to Gary Gorman. He is the managing partner at the 1031 Exchange Experts. Gary, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, so what about second homes? Can you apply the 1031? Can you roll this second home into a 1031?
Yeah, there's an IRS ruling that says second homes are 1031 property. Now,
okay.
you have to be able to prove that you had investment intent when you owned it, but that's pretty easy to do. You rent it out is clearly investment intent.
Sure.
Put it in a rental pool, you know, some other stuff like that that makes it.
Say you had a second home in Arizona and you used it 3 months out of the year and it sat empty the rest of the time. Would that be an investment home, or do you have to have some rental history on it?
It would be best if you had rental history, because you need to have proof that it was investment property.
Because it wouldn't qualify as your 2 out of 5 primary,
right?
So does that mean it's automatically investment or not?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
If if your intent was strictly, totally to use it personally, then it wouldn't be.
Okay.
You have to introduce some kind of investment intent.
So if you have, let's just talk about my house up in Flagstaff. I leave it fully furnished in about, 2 to 5, 6 nights a month. I've got a property management company that actually rents it out on the weekends during the week. There's a lot of Olympic athletes up there now in Flagstaff because they do a lot of altitude training. That's a sidebar, but what I'm saying is that I've got rental history. I use it kind of as a second home, too, but I do rent it out. Would that be a 1031 property?
Well, yeah, what I would do, I mean, you were just reading about the 18% appreciation. I would keep that article in your file, and I would write a letter to your attorney and your CPA and say, Flagstaff, 18% appreciation is better than my tech stocks, so I want to hold that as an investment.
Right.
Interesting. So you're treating it like an investment, too.
Exactly.
Acting like it is an investment for you, even if it's just it's capital appreciation, long-term appreciation.
But the letter just gives me
background
for my history. Put it in my file.
It proves.
I like that.
That's right.
That's good, Gary.
You guys are going to run home and write letters.
I'm going to go right now.
Well, I've got mine rented out long-term right now.
I can send them an email, and I can print the email out.
So it'll be on tax.
Same thing.
Yep. Yeah. But also, I remember from doing property management, if you use it more than 14 days a year, in theory, it's not an investment property, right? It's personal usage.
Well, that's a different code section, and what that's talking about is how much of the expenses you can deduct.
Really, okay, doesn't that's more deductibility issue?
It doesn't affect whether it's investment property or
gotcha.
A 1031
okay.
property. It just says how much of the expenses you incur on that property.
Okay.
You know what I like about this radio show? This is a radio show without fluff. Today, because sometimes we do a radio show with fluff. We're getting really hardcore,
meat and potato type
information. I really like it. Okay, now it's kind of a triad, is what I'm seeing. You have the title company. Let's say you're going to do a 1031 exchange. You sell a property. You want to buy another one. You have you guys who are the meat intermediary. I can't say that word today for some reason.
Intermediary.
And you have the title company, and then you have the seller.
Buyer-seller.
Well, most importantly, you've got to have a good real estate.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Which would be us.
Obviously. Yes.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I just helped you get a home down here in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Boy,
was
that smooth.
You just bought an investment property for us, or
helped you find
an investment property down here. Yeah,
it was a great thing.
It was a great thing. We're excited.
Close it next week.
Close it on Tuesday.
So I mean, that's kind of what you guys basically step in there because you can't, as a seller buyer, you can't touch that money.
Well, right. When you do a 1031 exchange, you have to have an independent third party called a qualified intermediary.
Thus, your company, the 1031 exchange experts.
Duh. Yes, that's what we do. And so we have to do all of the documents that are required by the IRS to treat it as an exchange, both the old property you're selling and the new property.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you call your company the 1031 Exchange Experts?
Hey, why don't we?
They did.
That is brilliant, Carl.
Well, we're a bunch of CPAs and attorneys, and so we are experts.
But I'm telling you,
is everybody in your firm either a CPA or an attorney?
Pretty much, yeah.
But I'm telling you what,
MBAs.
How funny!
From having
dime a dozen.
Yeah.
From having done a 1031, those are the kind of people you want doing it because there's a lot of stuff there, to take care of.
So. Real quick, give me a quick answer. Does this work for small investors as well as the millionaires?
Actually, the small investors are the ones that take the most advantage of this, if they know about it.
Ah.
More small investors than multimillionaires by numbers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because the millionaires, own all their property for cash?
Well, they own their property, but they don't sell it that often. So like a $50 million office building.
What did I say today, Carl? Yeah. Never sell an appreciating asset.
Never sell it. Keep
Just
it.
Take the equity and
buy
put it
hold.
Into something else. Anyway, we're going to go to CNN News, and when we come back, we'll cover this segment.
The Mortgage Minute.
And I'll bet you we have Sue Lindmeier
today.
We've
got Sue on the line today, and she'll be giving us the latest update.
She's the expert from Choice One. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these words.
Now back to Real Estate Talk Radio with your hosts, Dome Brothers Mark and Carl.
Hey, welcome back to Real Estate Talk Radio on 1510 AM KFNN. I am Mark Tate along with
Carl Stauffer with Diamond Realty.
Well, let's do this.
The Mortgage Minute.
Mrs. Lindmeier.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Very well. How are you guys?
Well, real good. You know, we're talking to this 1031 exchange expert, Gary Gorman. You got anything that maybe applies in the mortgage world?
No, 1031, it's just very makes our job very simple because we know exactly where the down payment money is coming from, which is great. Some people think, well, if I'm on a 1031, do I still have to qualify for the new mortgage? And, you know, the answer is yes. Unfortunately, you do have to requalify. And the other little caveat to remember is on investment properties, the interest rates are a little bit higher, anywhere from a half to three quarters, sometimes even a point, depending upon how much money you have for down.
Why would that be?
Well, the lenders look at an investment property as a higher-risk loan.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they feel that it's okay for them to charge a little more on the interest. It's a higher-risk loan because if, God forbid, somebody should get into trouble, they're going to let their investment properties go before their primary residence.
Yeah, okay. If you need a loan, call Sue. Sue, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Yeah, Sue and Mike, great. Yeah, my remodel. How fun is that? Talking to Gary Gorman. He's a CPA and managing partner over at the 1031 Exchange Experts. Again, Gary, it's great to have you on the show.
Great being here.
So what about fix and flip?
Sue's from Minnesota, too, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, she
Sue's
is from
a
Minnesota
girl also. So.
This show is very incestuous.
Well, we didn't try to do it that way. We just all kind of found each other. I found Sue my first week in the business. I've been doing loans with her ever since. But I had some new people, too. I got Mark Steinbeck, great guy from Merchants Funding. Be doing
he's
business
not
with him.
From Minnesota.
I know
he's not. Colorado.
Yeah. Anyway, what about fix and flips? People are doing fix and flips.
Can you do it with a 1031?
Well, yeah, you're talking about your property that you're fixing up.
But I'm not going to flip it.
Okay. But could you and do a 1031?
Could I?
Well, you'd have to hold it for a year, remember. But if you held it for a year, then you could. Okay? But well, if you did a fix and flip and sold it 2 months later, no.
Can you go into a property with 1031 proceeds to do a fix and flip with it?
Yes.
As long as you hold a year in one day.
As long as you hold it a year. So what you want to do is either fix it up and then hold it for a year, or else buy it, rent it. Tenant leaves, then you fix it up, then you sell it.
I have a commercial property. I want it now, and I've sold it. Now I want to move that money into residential property, or vice versa, residential into commercial. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
No problem. It's like property.
It's investment property. Investment property is always like kind of property.
Let me ask you a question back on this 1 year, because I've done some 1031s myself, and is that, if my understanding is right, it's not hard and fast. That's what people suggest. There's been no specific ruling, because I've heard maybe you want to hold it for 2 years to show your intent. So the 1 year is not, is that a hard and fast rule now? Have they tested that with a court case yet?
Well, that's a great question, and there are a bunch of court cases that talk about two tax years, which is, you know, two tax years means different things to different people.
A year and a day, right?
Yeah, so a year and a day.
Interesting.
Gets you. What the IRS doesn't want you doing is they don't want you turning short-term capital gains into long-term
capital gains.
By doing
or long-term into no capital gains if you move into it. You know, so how long,
right,
you know, moving into it, buying a 1031, say you've got a primary residence. You have a rental property over here. You sell it. You buy a new one, which you want to be your next primary residence. You rent it for a year. Then you move into it, park it for 2 years, and erase the gain.
Exactly.
You know, that's where it's can you rent for 1 year and move into it, or do you need to rent it for 2 years to move into it to be able
now,
to erase it?
Now, what have you found on that?
No, you could rent it for 1 year. They want you to get beyond the year and a day.
Beyond the
so
year.
So then you can move in and live for 2 years, and you just wipe out that exposure?
Exactly.
Totally wipe it out.
I love that.
Except for your accumulated depreciation.
Well, since May of 1997, which is chump change.
Well,
all the depreciation before that.
Well, let's talk about the hit. Let's say that I go ahead and I have an investment property, and then I don't do a 1031 exchange. It's a long-term capital gain. Is that at 15%? Is that where we're at now?
It depends on the kind of property. If you
okay.
If you've depreciated it, then you have to pay back the depreciation.
Which was income.
Yep, right, because you've gotten the
reduction
for it. So you pay that back at a 25, most people 25, some 29% tax rate.
Okay, that hurts.
And then the rest of the gain is 15% gain, and then, of course, you have your Arizona.
So you're going to have your proceeds and your depreciation to pay taxes on at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
How many properties can you put on the list on your 1031?
Can I ask one more question on this?
Sure.
Okay, I want to because it's something we just did here. I sold a property in Houston, Texas, as a rental since 1991. Sold it in 2003, bought the property in Flagstaff. my accumulated depreciation of that property in Houston for would be a 12-year period. You're saying I only have to pay on the depreciation since 97? I don't have to pay on the full 10 years' worth of accumulated depreciation?
Well, let's be clear, Carl.
Okay.
If you...
That's what I'm trying to do. Be clear.
Okay. He's a little slow.
No, this could affect my taxes here, so I'm...
Okay. If you sell it...
Right.
And you don't reinvest it, you don't do a 1031 exchange,
right,
then all of the depreciation you've taken, you have to recapture.
Okay, but I did the 1031 with it.
You did a 1031.
So do I move it all forward then?
You move it all forward.
Okay.
Now, if you move into that next year.
Never moving into that.
No.
No, I'm moving into the Flagstaff property potentially. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, let's say you move into
second
the Flagstaff.
Right.
And that becomes your personal residence.
Okay.
Okay? And then you live there for 2 years and sell it.
Right.
Then... The $250,000 is tax free, except you have to recapture the depreciation that you took only since May of 97.
Ford. Okay, all right. I got it. Now I get it. Sorry.
Real life 1031 exchange tips,
exactly,
by Gary Gorman.
Right.
Anyway, we have to take a break because we got to pay the bills. And when we come back, we will cover this segment.
Real estate cliches. Facts. Or fiction.
What do you got, Carl?
Hey, Mark, today's cliche is priced below appraisal.
We'll be right back after these words.
You're listening to Real Estate Talk Radio with Mark Tate on 1510 KFNN. Radio that makes you money. Now, back to Real Estate Talk Radio with your resident real estate junkies, Mark Tate and Carl Stauffer.
Yeah, welcome back to Real Estate Talk Radio. We're talking to Gary Gorman. He's a CPA managing partner for the 1031 Exchange Experts. And
we're having some fun today, too. This is good stuff.
Yeah,
I like
got some meat and potatoes, like you say, Carl.
Good stuff.
You have to define a list, Gary, when you're doing a 1031 exchange. Talk about that.
Yeah, what happens is on the day you close the sale of your old property,
mm-hmm,
you have a 45-day period during which you have to list the properties that you might want to buy. It's called a 45-day list.
45-day list.
And you typically...
So you like to say the old property is the one you sold or the relinquished, and the new properties, you're identifying what you might want to buy with that money.
Right.
Okay.
And you make this list that you give to the qualified intermediary.
Okay.
And it has to be done by the 45th.
Could it be like all the houses in Scottsdale?
Scottsdale MLS listing?
Yeah. No. Okay.
And you have to actually be under contract.
You really want to keep the list three properties or less.
Okay.
No, you don't have to be under contract.
Okay.
But you have to buy off of that list.
It's kind of risky, though, isn't it?
If you're not under contract.
Yeah. You may not end up with any three of those properties.
So once day 45, once you're at day 46,
what happens,
you've identified three properties, and all of a sudden two of them went under contract,
you're
left with just one. You get a little desperate, don't you?
If that burns down, you are toast.
You are going to pay taxes.
You have something called a taxable event in your future.
And then you have to close within what period, Gary?
You have to close again with... From the day you close the sale of your old property, you have 180 days to close the purchase of whatever you're going to buy.
Okay.
And whatever you buy has to be on your list. And typically you put three. You can go over three, but there's different rules, so you want to keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
You know what? This 1031 thing is really a piece of cake.
But when you understand it, it's not that hard.
Not that complicated.
And
what you do is you get a company like 1031 Exchange Experts, and they just handle it for you. If you've got any questions, say you're a real estate agent. We have a lot of real estate agents that actually listen to the show. And if you're a real estate agent, you can contact these guys and hook up your seller and your buyer,
mm-hmm,
and title company and these guys, and just kind of hand it off to you, right, Gary?
Well, not only that, but your listeners can call us for free, and one of our attorneys or CPAs will answer their questions.
If they have questions, because there are a lot of questions at first about this, but it is
There's
an understandable concept.
There's a lot of confusion out there about how this thing really works.
You kind of become the buyer and the seller. You get dropped into the transaction with some verbiage.
I become part of the team with you guys,
mm-hmm,
on handling these people's.
And there is a 1031 exchange clause that you can put in your contract for a buyer or seller that kind of helps these guys become that person, right?
Right. You want to notify the buyer of your old property that you're doing a 1031,
mm-hmm,
exchange. And then likewise on the purchase of your new property, but more importantly, the sale of your old property.
And it doesn't cost them anymore. They just have to understand that that's part of the process.
Right. The IRS just says that they have to be aware of what's going on.
And the other thing is, too, is that you guys don't turn into real estate people. You don't. People come in, do they ever come in and say, I'm not sure if this property I'm buying is the right kind of property. Will you evaluate that for me?
Oh, we never do that.
Of course not.
Right.
No. But I bet you've had the question.
Oh, we get the question all the time.
Yeah, I can see it. And you guys are CPAs and attorneys. You should know.
Right. Well, yes, but that's not our job. And a lot of that kind of stuff, the IRS doesn't allow us to do and still be the qualified intermediary. So when it gets to where it's going to cross the line, then we refer them back to you. You know, it's this property under appraisal or over appraisal.
Mm-hmm. That's back to the market.
Yeah, call Market Carl.
The interesting thing is that you know, it's an understandable concept, but there are very serious timelines and triggers for your mm-hmm. expenses in this thing. So it's important to understand that, you know, find a good real estate agent that does understand this process, get you connected with a good intermediary like you guys, and it'll go smoothly. But there are some things there's some hard and fast rules you got to stick to.
Yeah, well, you guys actually have a go ahead, Gary.
Well, the thing that you got to be careful of is, you know, like you say, the process can be relatively simple.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you screw it up, if you foot fault,
right,
the IRS will disallow
Boom.
Your whole exchange.
You're over the line. That's it.
And so there's a lot of landmines.
Do they look at these exchanges in your tax returns pretty heavily?
If you get audited and there's an exchange in your tax return, they will look at that exchange 100% of the time.
Of course. Yeah, every time.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to get audited before they're going to
leave. Yeah, it's just not worth it's not worth doing it wrong.
Right, not worth doing it.
When you can do it right.
When you can do it right. Now, I took my Flagstaff property, I took a little money. I was left with some money in my transaction that I actually took. Now, and it's called
Now, what'd you spend it on?
I think credit card bills.
Yeah? join the crowd, right?
That's right, but took a little boot out
little
of the
boot, huh? Now, how
boot.
Does that work?
Yeah. Do you guys know where the term boot comes from? Do we have time to talk about
it? Go ahead.
In Minnesota, that's what we call our boot house.
No.
That's the mud. That's the mud boat, room. The mud
boat
room.
Boat. No, actually, this will tie in with Arizona better, but the term boot in a transaction, for you listeners, boot is the part of a real estate transaction that's taxable. That's what the IRS calls it, mm-hmm. and they always have called it that. Well, the term boot goes back to the cowboy days when cowboys traded cattle and horses and stuff. And so when they trade horses, if one horse was worth a little bit more than the other one, then the guy with the lesser horse had to pay something to equalize the trade. And it had to be something that would fit in the boot of the other person. So money or a gun.
Gold nugget.
Something like that, and it had to fit in their boot because they didn't have any way.
Beef jerky?
It's like a little something on the side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I need so a little, that's in order to get this deal done, I need a little boot.
Need a little boot.
Yeah.
A little
what do you got there in your saddlebag?
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
So there's probably 10,000 people out there choking on their eggs.
Carl, did it fit in your boot?
Well, yeah, cash fits in your boot. It's probably one of the most usable things,
the
right?
The stack of 20s.
Your credit card fits in your boot. That's right.
Yeah, the stack of 20s. Well, you know, how do you pick a good intermediary? Intermediary.
Well, you have to be careful. Intermediary.
Yeah, I can't believe
myself. Intermediaries are one of those things that are not regulated by anybody, not by any of the states, not by the IRS. It's totally unregulated. So a convicted felon could be an intermediary.
And that's bad.
Well, that's scary because
they're handling funds.
We haven't really talked about it this morning, but for you listeners, one of the things that the intermediary has to do is they have to hold the money in between the sale of the old property and the purchase of the new.
And it's the holding numbers. Of the money that could be a problem for the felon.
Yeah, they're holding the money, and they could be a convicted felon. So you want to do two things. Number one is you want to make sure that the intermediary is bonded. Here's the scary thing. There's about 2,000 intermediaries in the United States. Of that number, exactly 39
are bonded.
That's one half of 1%.
Wow. So all you need is a bonding. Is there any sort of special certification or license to be a exchange?
No.
Interesting.
No. I don't have to do
intermediary.
All the things you guys have to do to be real estate agent.
Really? That's
so
spooky.
You want to make sure they're bonded. Because bonding.
See, I said it right.
Bonding is the part that weeds out the convicted felons. Mm-hmm. Okay, the other thing that you want to do is you want to make sure that your intermediary holds the money in a separate account for you, what's called a segregated account. If they put the money in a commingled account,
ooh, that's a bad word in real estate, too.
That could be really
fatal. Never commingle funds.
There was an intermediary that went bankrupt here not too long ago because they were day trading with commingled money.
People lost some money.
They lost some money. But get this, it gets worse. So the people who had their exchange money with them, the money that was left when the guy went bankrupt, that money got used to pay the creditors of the intermediary because it was commingled. The court said that if it was in separate accounts,
they
could have been
got at it. But
okay, but here it gets
doesn't
worse.
It get worse?
It gets worse.
I know what you're going to say.
Because it was bankruptcy assets, all of the money that they'd sent out to their customers to buy the property during the 90 days before they went bankrupt had to come back.
Oh, my God.
So, listeners, segregated account.
Well, but doesn't
account.
Even get worse because these people now don't have the money to go out and purchase the property. Now aren't they paying taxes?
And they got
to
pay taxes on what they
so
have
it got
lost.
Worse and worse and worse.
Oh. Absolutely.
Anyway, so you guys
pick
are online.
Pick your partners well.
You guys are online. You're at expert1031.com.
Right.
And you can find out about them. If you want to email Gary, gary@expert1031.com, or you can give him a call. What's your number over there, Gary?
Number is 480-346-1204.
Gary Gorman, he's a CPA and managing partner, and the name of the company is the 1031 Exchange Experts, and they're the people that you're going to need to move investment property around and defer taxes.
Right. Give us a call. We can help you.
Yeah. So anyway, had a fun show today.
Good show.
We got some great having you on the show, Gary.
Hey, thanks for helping me find this great investment property.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it was a pleasure working with you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Really?
Yeah,
it
I
was.
Like working with you, too.
I'll hug you after the show.
Yeah.
Group hug.
Are you working today, Carl?
I'm going to try not to work today, Mark.
I got to work a little bit. Got to run around a little bit, do this. Anyway, Carl, good seeing you. Gary, good seeing you. Say goodbye.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
See ya.
See you, Travis. See you, Becca.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Real Estate Talk Radio with Mark Tate of Realty Executives. If you'd like to consult with Mark about any real estate question off the air, you can reach Mark at 480-451-9339. Carl Stauffer can be reached at 602-316-2355. Be sure to join us next Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on 1510 KFNN.